So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to my podcast today. I'm your host, Betty, and we're talking about Outlander, Episode 11, The Devil's Mark. In that intro, I hope it sounds good. I'm going to keep it. First thing I want to say off the top is happy birthday, Sam Heughan, and happy birthday, Jamie Fraser. Sam Heughan's birthday was yesterday, and today is Jamie Fraser's birthday. And Jamie Fraser makes 300 look good, don't he, y'all? But anyway, I want to also say thank you, Sam Heughan, for bringing Jamie Fraser to life. We adore you. Another thing I want to bring up is that Cobra Kai on my Facebook page or group, it won the polls. So I'm going to start covering it on Monday. So I'm going to strike hard, strike first, and show no mercy. But anyway, let's get into the show that we're actually discussing tonight. We're going to be talking about Outlander. I have the synopsis written right here. It says, Galus and Claire are imprisoned pending their trial for witchcraft. Galus admits to Claire that she killed her husband, Arthur, which isn't a surprise. She also admits she is devoted to the Jacobite cause. The trial itself has all makings of a one-sided affair, but Ned Gowan arrives in time to provide both of them with something of a defense. The witnesses against them include Galus's housemaid, Leary, who claims Claire stole Jamie from her with magic, and Father Bane. As the trial comes to an end, Ned tells the two women that the only solution is for Claire to save herself and denouncing Galus. She refuses to do so, but Galus saves her and reveals her great secret. Jamie takes Claire from the court, and Claire tells him the truth about her past. Okay, so this episode, it starts out right where we left off in the last episode. They're throwing Galus and Claire into the thieves' hole, and Claire starts arguing with, Galus starts accusing Claire of bringing the wardens on her, and Claire's telling her that she's the one that told her to pack her belongings and flee, but Galus, of course, didn't listen to her, and now they are where they're at. And then, of course, Claire explains to her that it was Leary that sent the note to Claire, luring her to Galus's house that day, and Galus. She tells Claire that I told you my secrets, you know, I trusted you and everything. And, Claire, you know, she points out that, Jamie was the one that told her where to find Galus in the woods so that if she wanted her secrets to be kept, she shouldn't have, let it be more, you know, she should have hidden it more better of what she was doing in the woods and things. And Galus says, so you do believe I'm a witch? And, of course, Claire says, no, I don't think you're a witch, but I do know that you may not have killed Dougal's wife, but you did kill Arthur because, you know, the way he died was just old-fashioned poison. And Claire, you know, she challenges Galus to deny it, and, of course, Galus doesn't deny it, and she actually confesses that she started with white arsenic, and she was a few months back, and she was hoping that it would kill Arthur by the time the baby was born. And she sits down next to Claire, and she's saying that her baby is a boy and everything. She tries to get Claire to touch her belly because it starts kicking, and Claire, of course, refuses to feel it. And then someone comes up to the cage and throws a loaf of bread or something down the hole, and Claire wants to talk with him. And she starts telling him that there's been a mistake, that she belongs to Castle Leok and all of this, and she's the wife of the nephew of Colin McKenzie and all this. And, you know, the guy just doesn't want to hear, you know, he even says something about being, you know, like, yeah, I'm King Arthur and all this, and he walks away. And Galus says that, don't worry, Claire, we won't be here for long. And, of course, And then Claire, you know, she says that Jamie told her that Dougal had confessed his love, you know, for... He had told Colm that he loved Galis and that she was carrying his child and everything. So Colm sent him away to go to Dougal's wife's funeral and that he should stay there for a while. And he took Jamie with him. And so nobody is coming for them. So now Galis is worried and she asks Claire if... Claire asks how long do they mean to keep them there, and Gala says till the trial, of course, because, you know, until they can summon the examiners to do the trial, and she wants Claire to come lay down next to her, but of course, you know, to keep warm, but of course Claire doesn't go lay down next to her, and they go to sleep there in that thieves' hole. And then the next morning, Claire wakes up and you can hear the crowd outside, you know, having a fit and everything, you know, and Gala says it's starting now, and Claire says, I guess it would be better to burn as a witch than to freeze to death. And anyway, the men, they come and they pull them out of the thieves' hold and they're shackling them and they lead them through the town and they're already setting up the stake, the pyre, you know. And so they lead them into the courtroom and, you know, Claire, she's looking around to see if she can see a familiar face. From Castle Leoc, and there is nobody there. And she knows that if history is anything, she knows that witches, you know, people didn't walk away from these kinds of trials. And just as she's thinking this, or just as the voiceover is saying this, Ned Gowan comes into the courtroom, and he wants to defend the two accused ladies of, you know, of witchcraft. And, you know, he brings to the court, you know, the attention that witch trials are illegal. Of course, you know, that doesn't work, you know, because this is a trial for the church and all this. And he points out that we're still in Scotland, so women in Scotland always got were entitled to legal counsel during a trial in Scotland. So the judges, they agree to let him stay and defend them. And I just want to say it again. I know I've probably, especially on the first episode that we met Ned Gowan, I want to say that I love him. I've always loved him, and he's the best. You know, I pretty much love all the little side characters like Mrs. Fitz, Ned Gowan, Rupert and Angus, you know, all of them. I just love all of the little side characters. They're all cool, except for Leary. And of course, we'll find out later, especially in this episode, why. I mean, if you don't already hate her, you're going to really, really hate her by the end of this episode. I'm not even really sure if you can count Leary as a side character, but anyway, and another important character, side character, is Murdaugh. He's so important, and I can't stress, I love him. But anyway, so Ned Gowan, he gets to defend the two ladies, you know, for their witch trial, and so he sits down, and they call their first witness. And it's Jenny, Galis's housemaid. And she actually gives a pretty compelling case against Claire and Galis because, you know, she's been working for the Duncans for 5 years. So she kind of knew a lot of Galis's secrets. And, of course, Claire being associated with Galis, you know, she accuses Claire of doing things with Galis. But Ned Gowan gets up and he says that Jenny was trying to find a job at Castle Leoc, and you know, because she was unhappy with being the hand servant to the Duncans. And so this is just the ramblings of a underpaid maidservant that wasn't happy with her job. So, you know, basically Ned Gowan just dismisses her, you know. He gets it in her, you know, he brings the trial back to Claire and Galus's favor. So they call their next witness, Arobita Donaldson, and this is the woman that, I mean, she's the mother of the baby that Claire had found on the Fairy Hill. And, of course, you know, she's accusing Claire of interfering with her baby being returned to her by the fairies. And, you know, she's upset, of course, and she goes to attack Claire, and, you know, Ned Gowan goes up there and pulls her off of her, and Claire, you know, meanwhile is yelling that she's a healer and she couldn't abandon a dying child and all of this, but Ned Gowan tells Claire to be quiet and let him do his job. And he turns around and he talks to the lady, you know, he sympathizes with the poor lady there, and he says that it was her fault for not interfering with Claire because she was too afraid to stop Claire from interfering with the fairies. And but she can feel better knowing that her baby is living with the fairies and, you know, is healthy. So that witness is dismissed. So Ned is actually doing a really good job of turning the argument in Galus and Claire's favor. But, you know, Claire, she's looking around at the crowd, of course, and they only want one outcome. They want to see them burn, you know. That's just the way it was back then. So, but they call their next witness, and it's Alistair Duffy. And he really spins some tall tales about Galus, and but after his testimony, the courts dismiss for the day. And as the man comes up to take Galus and Claire back to the thieves' hole, Ned comes up and is trying to give Claire a flask with the whiskey in it, and Claire is wondering about, you know, did Colum send him? And of course, Ned says no, Colum would probably not be very happy with me for being here. And so, you know, Claire asks Ned if Colum had something to do with Claire being in the situation she's in, but Ned doesn't answer. So back in the thieves' hold, Galus and Claire, they're drinking from the whiskey flask that Ned Gowan gave Claire, and they're talking, and Galus talks about how Ned is a peculiar old man, and Claire says that he is special, but he's also optimistic about what's going to happen. And of course Galus points out that the people in that courtroom, they mean to kill them in the morning. So it doesn't even matter if Ned Gowan, you know, brings the trial in their favor. The outcome is still going to be, you know, they're witches and they're going to burn. And Claire, she asks Galus if she's just with Dougal McKenzie because of his money, or if she really cares for Dougal. And Galus points out that she didn't need Dougal's money, because, you know, Arthur, she has been forging Arthur's signature to get money, and she raised, like, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was a lot of money. Claire asks her for, you know, what was she getting the money for, and Galus tells her for Scotland. You know, she wants to see the Stuart king back on the throne. So basically she's just confessed that she is a Jacobite and that it was politics that brought her and Dougal together. And Galus says that Dougal is her match, you know. And she points out that Colum is just in it for the Mackenzies, but Dougal is fighting for everybody, for the whole of Scotland. And then Claire, she points out that, you know, Dougal is not, you know, he's not the most faithful person. And Galus, she says that she doesn't care, you know, that he's, you know, that he likes the lasses and stuff. So, and Claire's like, you actually love him, right? And Galus is like, those are your words and not mine. And of course, Galus, you know, she's heartbroken that Dougal would go, you know, just as soon as Colum told him to. And Claire is you know, kind of pitying her right here. And Gayla says, "Don't you dare pity me, because, you know, at least I know I helped. You know, whatever happens with the examiners, you know, at least I fought for my country." And Claire says a quote. She says, "I only regret, as I only have one life to lose for my country." And this is a quote. I looked it up so that I wouldn't get facts wrong or anything like that. But Nathan Howell said this quote in 1776, on September 22nd, I believe. And Gayless and Claire, or, well, Claire, she is in 1774. So, was said after Claire, the time that Claire is in right now. And this actually gets Gayless's attention. Right here, she takes notice of this and realizes that Claire is not from this time. And Gayless, she goes on to ask Claire if she loves Jamie, because it's his name that she cries out in her sleep. And you know, Claire doesn't answer Gayless right here, but it goes to the next morning. Claire gets up and she's trying to open the bars, you know, to the cage. And she sees a bird fly by. And the beginning of this episode, you know, the title card on the episode, we saw a big flock of birds flying and stuff. And this scene right here explains why they showed that at the beginning. It's because Claire, you know, she sits down next to Gayless and she's talking about something from her childhood. You know, they would see the birds like that. And Gayless asks what would make them do, you know, fly like that. And Claire said safety in numbers, you know, to protect each other. And then Gayless says, "We are an unlikely flock of birds." And but she says that although so some witnesses' accounts, I have been known to take flight. And then the man, he comes to take them back to the trial, but just before Gayless is going back up the ladder, Claire actually does stop and take a moment to feel Gayless's belly. But they both go up the ladder, and then they're walking through the crowd, you know, the guys leading them back to the trial, and all of the villagers are having their fit, you know, burn the witch, burn them, you know, and all that. So back with the trial, the first witness is called, and it is Leary. And she comes, and she starts accusing Claire of bewitching Jamie and stealing Jamie from her. And, you know, that she had asked Claire for a potion, if y'all remember right, that Claire did give her the love potion, which was horse dung. But anyway, and Leary says that she took it herself and, you know, bewitched Jamie to love Claire instead. And, you know, of course, Claire denies all of these accusations because, you know, and says that Leary is the one that is the reason that she's even here today, because she's the one that fabricated the note, and she tried to seduce her husband and everything. And Leary's like, you know, she says she's right, I did confront her or something like that, and she struck me, and this was a big deal because, you know, the judge says, "Did you strike this woman?" And I think that is when Claire says yes, because she tried to seduce my husband and all of this. And then the judges tell Claire to silence because, you know, she's just an embarrassment to herself. And Ned Gowan tries to dismiss Leary as just this jealous girl. But anyway, that's the end of Leary. You know, Leary is kind of damning to Claire's case. So the next witness is called, and it is Father Bain. And of course he comes up, and he's got a lot to say about Claire. But it almost sounds like when he gets up there, it almost sounds like he's trying to defend Claire because she actually did good. But what he's doing is he's manipulating that, you know, because he wasn't able to save the boy that Claire had saved you know, in the previous episode, and that he isn't worthy of being, you know, the priest to this village, and that's actually bad because, you know, she's so evil that she could get a priest to step down and from being the father of this village. And all of the villagers are like, you know, she needs to be burned, and, you know, that she would actually get a man of God to step down from his position, that she needs to be punished. And the judges, they refused to let Father Bane step down from the parish, and they almost start to sentence the women, you know, to their fate. But Ned Gowan jumps up and says, "May we have a small recess?" And as he's doing this, Father Bane turns around, looks at Claire and Galus, and smiles. So Ned takes them into the other room, and he's talking to them, and he says that there's only, you know, the tides have turned, and there's only one way to, you know, only one of y'all will be saved from this. And he looks at Galus and says, "And you were being accused of a witch long before Claire came into our lives. So, the only thing that was standing in her way from a pyre and kindling was her husband, and he's gone." So, and then Galus says that, "Are you my lawyer or my judge?" And, Ned Gowan says, "I tried, but you're beyond saving." And he looks at Claire and he says, "If you renounce Galus and say that she bewitched you, then, you know, I can save you, but I can't save, you know, Galus." And Claire, you know, she asks, "What if I don't?" And Ned says that they'll burn you both. And he says, "I'll give you a moment to think about it, but hurry up because this court's not going to wait." And he steps out the door to give them a moment. So Claire and Galus are in this room by themselves, and Galus is asking Claire why she's there, and Claire starts telling her, you know, the usual story, and then Galus is like, "No, you know, you're lying. Even Colm and Dougal and everybody knows that you're lying." She says, "Why are you here?" And Claire says that it was an accident, you know, she doesn't know why she's here. And Galus says, "So you're not here to change anything?" She's like, "Because if I'm going to die, I need to know why, you know, I. And Claire, you know, she confesses that she just wants to go home, but she doesn't even know if that's possible. And Ned, he comes back into the room and says that the crowd won't wait anymore, that you need to make a decision. And Galus is standing there, and she says, "Well, it looks like, you know, I'm going to a barbecue." And she, you know, walks, you know, towards the door, and, you know, they go out the door. So back in the courtroom, Ned Gowan says that Claire Fraser has something to say to the courts. And Claire is standing there, and she looks over at Galus, and then she looks back at the judges, and she says that she has nothing to say, that Ned Gowan is mistaken. And poor Ned Gowan, the look on his face right here, I mean, it's heartbreaking, because this man tried so hard to save Claire. You know, that's the only reason why he's there. He's not there for Galus. He was there for Claire. But the judges stand up, and they accuse both Claire Fraser and Galus Duncan of being witches. And the crowd, you know, they get up and they're like, "Burn the witch, burn them, you know." And in this moment, you know, Ned Gowan, he gets up, and he's trying to stop them from taking Claire. You know, he's waving his gun and trying to, you know, he's still fighting for this, for Claire. And, you know, when I watch this, you know, just for, you know, to jog my memory on what's happening, when I was watching this scene, I actually shed a little tears for Ned Gowan, because, like I said, he fought so hard to save her life, you know, and I love Ned Gowan. But anyway, Galus and Claire are talking, and, you know, Galus looks at her and says that I think it is possible to go back home, you know, and she says that she's from 1968. But anyway, the man that's, you know, been handling Galus, and Claire comes and takes Claire, and he takes her over to the middle of the room, and they start flogging her. And just at this moment, Jamie comes in to rescue Claire. And right here, I'm going to try and do something. I did it with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I'm going to try and do it with what Jamie says here, because it is one of my favorite moments in the Outlander ever. So, hold on.
I swore an oath before the altar of God to protect this woman. And if you're telling me you consider your authority to be greater than that of the Almighty, then I must inform you that I am not of that opinion myself. The first man forward will be the first man down.
So, yeah. I hope I don't get in trouble for that. But anyway, it chills every time I see that scene. So after that moment, Galus stands up and she says that Claire is innocent, that she bewitched her, that she killed her husband, Arthur Duncan, by means of witchcraft, and that she bears the mark of the devil, and shows her smallpox vaccination and all of this. And in that moment, Claire realizes that Galus is from the future. And of course, Galus, you know, she's saying that she's carrying the child of Satan, and you know, she strips her the front of her dress off and shows that she's pregnant and everything. And so the people start carrying Galus out of the courtroom, and at this moment Jamie and Claire, they make their escape, and you know, they get out during the whole riot in the crowd. So the people, they are carrying Galus to the pyre, and that's the last we ever see of Galus for a while. You know, this podcast, I've already said it in previous podcasts that this is a spoiler podcast. You know, I'm not going to hold back from spoiling, but that's in future episodes. Let's just not talk about it. So, but anyways, the next scene, Jamie is doctoring Claire's marks on her back, and he says that she probably won't be scarred like his back is, because they're not too deep. But he sits down next to her, and he has to ask her, you know, if she's a witch. And he wants to know the truth, because he knows that Claire has the same type of scar that Galus had. You know, the one that she said that was the mark of the devil, but it's actually the vaccine. But so Claire makes her confession right here that she's from the future, and she starts telling him, you know, all about, you know, the future of the Jacobites, and you know, she knows when Black Jack Randall's going to die and when he was born, and that Black Jack Randall is friends with the Duke of Sandrinum, and she knows all of this because her husband told her all of this, you know, Frank did. So, you know, and she asks him if he believes her, and he says he does. He believes her heart, and he actually, you know, he doesn't understand it, but he believes her. And he asks her to tell him some more, and so she starts telling him everything, and then it goes to a voiceover, and this is a great relief for Claire to get this all out. You know, like someone is listening and someone believes her. And then this is where he makes the realization that when she went to the stones, you know, in the forest, when he went to talk to Horrocks, and she went to the stones, you know, trying to go back to her home, back to her husband. And he says he's sorry because, you know, he beat her for it, and he feels really bad. And Claire tells him not to feel bad because there's no way he could have known, you know. And this, she starts crying, and he holds her and comforts her and everything. And she says, "So you believe me?" And he says, "Yes, but it would have been a great deal easier if you'd only been a witch." And it goes to the next scene. It's a montage of them riding the countryside, trying to get away from the witch trials and everything. And Jamie is talking to her about Lollybrook and about home and all this, and the life that they're gonna spend together. And, of course, you know, there's a voiceover, and Claire is saying that she feels detached from everything and she's not really paying attention to him. And then it goes to the night, you know, and Jamie is admiring her, and to put it PG, he's loving her, you know, because he wants her to feel his love and everything. So so the next morning, he is standing by the tree and Claire is washing in the river, and he comes up to her and he says, let's go home, you know. And she gets up, and he takes her up the hill, you know, because, you know, their home is, he hasn't revealed what his plan is, what he's doing here. She thinks he's taking her to Lollybrook, but they're going up over the hill, and he has brought her back to the stones. So he escorts her up to the stones, and he actually goes up to the big stone and touches it, and nothing happens with Jamie because, you know, he's not a time traveler. And he asks Claire, what did she do, you know, when she traveled through the stones? And she starts saying that, I didn't do anything, I just touched them, you know. And she starts walking towards the stone, and just right before she touches it, Jamie grabs her hand and pulls her back, because he wasn't ready for her to go yet. And they kiss, and you know, he's telling her, you know, there's nothing for her here, you know, she needs to go back to her own time where she's used to, and she needs to go back to Frank, you know. And she's, and so he says that he will be back at the camp, you know, and he will wait for her till nightfall, you know, make sure that she, you know, she's safe. So so he leaves, but as he's starting to leave, she calls back to him, and he stops and looks back at her one last time, you know, and you can see the tears in his eyes. And she says goodbye, and so he leaves, and it shows Claire, and she's sitting down. She must have been sitting there for hours contemplating whether she was going to go through these stones, and she's sitting there and she's looking at both her rings, and, you know, which one is she choose to go to. And she looks back and she can see Jamie's campfire, you know, the smoke from his campfire. And she turns back around towards the stones, and she gets up because she can hear the buzzing from the stones. And so she gets up and she starts walking towards the stones, and as she gets closer and closer, it just instantly, the screen fades to black. And the next scene we see is back at Jamie's camp. He's laying there, and she says, on your feet, soldier, take me home to Lollybrook. And he wakes up and he sees her there, and he's been crying, and he has one single tear going down his cheek. And he gets up and or takes her hand and embraces her, and they kiss, and the episode goes off. That's where it ends. So when I watched this, you know, to jog my memory of the episode and stuff, it was actually yesterday when I watched this episode. This episode made me cry. And I, you know, I've seen this show at least 3 times fully through. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to hit me this bad. But I think this time around, because I've been dissecting the episodes so much, and I have become so invested with the episodes so much, you know, by doing this podcast, I see it. It's like seeing it new, you know. So I'm so invested, and, you know, yeah, it made me cry. I cried for Ned. I even shed a little bitty tear for Galus. Now, it wasn't that big of a deal because of what happens in future. But at this moment, and that's the beauty of this show, you know, you can, you know, yes, some of these characters, they're terrible, but they're so complex, like Leary, Dougal, Galus, all of these different characters. there is a point in time where you do kind of feel bad for these characters, but then they go turn around and they do something that it's like, never mind. You know, like Dougal, for instance, interesting because, you know, that you do feel for the man, but then at the same time you're just like, you know, because he hits on Claire and he does these things that you're like, eh, you know, but at the same time he is a man of honor and he's a really likable character, and I really think that has more to do with Graham McTavish than it does Dougal. I'm not sure, but that is a testament though also to Diana Gabaldon's writing, because, you know, like I was talking about Larry, you know, when we were first introduced to her, and, you know, I even said it in the episode where when it came back from its hiatus, the Reckoning episode, you feel like maybe Jamie may have led her on, you know, and in them first few episodes too, you felt bad for her because, you know, she, being young and naive little girl she was, you know, she loved, or she feels like she loves Jamie, and, you know, you kind of have a little bit of sympathy for the poor girl, but then she goes and she does the things she does in this episode, and you don't feel too bad about her, and in the future, things that happen with her in the future, you kind of feel a little bad for her, but then you don't, because, you know, she goes, turns around, does something. And same with Galus. She did save Claire's life in this episode, but then she turns around and she does some horrendous things in the future that you're just like, eh. So, but anyway, I shed some tears for a lot of the scenes in this episode because it was just like I had watched it for the first time. But in even knowing what I know, you know, knowing what I know from the future, you know, I knew that Claire wasn't going to go through the stones, but I was there in the moment. I felt it because, you know, Jamie loved Claire so much, you know, that he was talking about their life together, and he, you know, and but knowing what he was doing, you know, for Claire. He loves her that much. So, yeah. Anyway, that's going to wrap up this episode. Y'all stay tuned for trivia. Okay, so the piece of trivia I have, it says Galus Duncan has the same name as a real 16th century Scottish woman who was the first person accused of being a witch in Scotland. The whole witch trial madness stemmed from her accusations. Okay, so I want to talk about this right here because in the IMDb, they've made a mistake and said that Lottie Verbeek, which is the woman that plays Galus, they make it sound like it was her name. So I was like, nuh-uh, really? So I looked it up because I feel like I run a few Outlander Facebook groups and pages. So I feel like I've looked this up before, so I felt like, no, that's not true, you know, I don't think her name was Lottie Verbeek, I think it was Galus Duncan, and so I looked it up, and I looked up a particular article, and I read about it, and, this story is so sad, because this woman was tortured, in the most horrendous ways you could even think of. And if y'all remember when I was, you know, on my Men in Kilts, the Witchcraft and Superstition episode, they were talking about some of these, the way they treated witches in this time. And they demonstrated the thumb screws and things. And they did this to this poor girl, and she was only a teenager too, by the way. They did the thumb screws, and they did it so hard that they crushed her thumbs, and it's just, it's awful. But anyway, yeah, that's some interesting trivia. That's all the trivia I have, so stay tuned for news. Okay, so I got this news from Express website. It says, has Outlander Series 6 been delayed? And it says, at the moment, there is good news for fans of Outlander. Despite an ongoing pay dispute behind the scenes, there has been no official announcement that the release date of Outlander Series 6 has been delayed. The sixth season does not yet have an official release date, but judging by the release dates of previous seasons, a September 2021 or a November 2021 release date may be in the cards. Okay, so I debated if I was going to share that or not, because I'm not sure if that's true or if that's just false, but all I know is that Season 6 is in production, and we should be getting Outlander Season 6 pretty soon. I mean, you know, I'm hoping that our wait's not going to be too long. So, anyway, that's all the news I have, and that's going to wrap up this episode. I don't have any feedback. If y'all want to leave me feedback, I will leave my information in the description. It's my link tree so that y'all can find me anywhere. I'm on most social networks. So, yeah. Anyway, and I want to say something else right here too before I wrap this up. Throughout this whole episode, if you were hearing, it felt like, or it sounded like something running in the background and then stopping and then coming back on and then stopping, you know, that's my heater. And I can't do anything about it, so, you know, it's just the way it is. But anyway, that's gonna wrap up this episode. Y'all keep having fun. Colum confessed, you know, his love for you and everything, and that you're carrying his child. Did I say Colum or Dougal?